Hi everyone, Frankie, I'm an addict. Is it alright to pick this up and dance about? Cool, thank you. You can probably see I'm trying to cover up that I'm nervous. Feedback's on this. Wow. Sounds... No, it's not because it's my voice. Yeah, hello everyone, I'm Frankie, I'm an addict.
Hi, baby.
Right, let's get into this. Sharing at the speaker meeting. Jay asked me a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, wow, you know, it's just really nice. I've done a couple of shares this week. Careful, some of you lot, I'm about to have a feeling now. I was four this week, and it's... Thank you. And that stuff, believe me, that's real stuff. I've been coming to NA for 14 years. Feeling the pass. It's right. Cool. But I've got to admit, for a good 8 years of it, this was a great social club. You know, I come here really a lot and, you know, it was a great place to beg tobacco and it was a nice place to meet a lot of nice other crazy addicts, and it was also a nice place where people who are kind of well would give you some clothes, would give you some port, would show you some love. And, yeah, I thought I'd become part of and take on a tea commitment at my original home group. After I got out of Wandsworth Prison, I started going to NA, to my original home group, which was up at the Angel Islington. And every week I used to bring me a pint of milk, throw it in the side by the sink, sit there, wait for the end of the meeting and wait for an applause, because I was so proper. Fucking hell, that was recovery, man. I wonder why I couldn't stay clean. I couldn't stay clean. I'd get 2 or 3 months and I could not stay clean. It took me a really, really long time to get to a stage to realise that you got the fellowship and you got the programme, you've got two different things going on and you need to somehow bond the pair of them together, and the programme is the 12 steps. And if you don't do the 12 steps, my experience told me that I would relapse. You know? And I have to continuously keep doing it. For me to rationalise and justify myself, which is something addicts seem to do, the reason I got overwhelmed was because I was a smackhead for 20 years. I was also I took anything. Methadone was a naughty one. I was 8 years a methadone addict. I don't know if anyone can relate. If you're on methadone, you really, really know what it's like to have when you've got constipation. It's proper, you know, get proper constipation on methadone. It's real serious. You really get in contact with God when you're on methadone, man, I tell you that. First thing in the morning, you know, please. That stuff. Wow. I don't have to do that anymore. I really don't. I'm so happy. Don't have to do that anymore. Yeah. I was thinking the other night, I was doing a share the other night and something triggered me before I went in the meeting. I was realised how much of an addict I was. I was a proper addict. I was one of them addicts who had two lighters, you know, one which we had a flint and the other one had some gas. Always, you know, proper fucking, you know. And, yeah. I used for a long time and it's not about the using. I discovered that out early on, but I didn't know about this 12-step stuff. I didn't know about it. What I did understand was that it can't be the drugs that's the problem, because when I stopped taking the drugs, all of a sudden the problem turned up. And the problem was you, everything, money, my girlfriend, wherever she was, my mum, the family, none of them understood me. Especially didn't understand me when I wanted to borrow £20 off them. They definitely didn't understand me then. In fact, it got to a stage where my mum wouldn't even let me cross the front door. You know, and I've got some big stuff today. My mum, you know, she allows me across the front door. She rings me up and tells me she loves me, and that's really, really beautiful. It's really beautiful because, like, when you have 20 years of addiction, your family really jog you on. They really don't have nothing to do with you, you know. Because I found that I stole off the people I loved the first, you know. All I had left was my nan, really. And she would put up with me no matter what. She grew up through, well, she was born in the First World War, and she would put up with me no matter what. She'd seen it from her own family. She'd had 13 kids, and I was the oldest grandchild. And what I used to do was I used to get experience this feeling of powerlessness. What I used to do was I used to go around and knock on my nan's door when I was really on my arse and the clock was in the post. And what I used to do was this 93-year-old Irish woman who'd never shut the door on me would go into the kitchen and make me a cup of tea or a sandwich or anything just to bail me out. And what used to happen used to be, as soon as she was out of that room, I'd be looking in her handbag. And I would be listening, really, really listening quietly to hear her shuffling around to make sure she stayed in that other room so I could slip my hand in that handbag and steal some money out of there. And I did that on a regular basis. I even used to forget I'd stolen the money when I'd go back a week later and knock on the door to get another sandwich. And then in that second I think, I hope she don't remember. She's old, she won't remember. You know? I was able to make amends to that woman before she died. I know the amends are for me. You know, I'm really, really lucky there. Really, really lucky. Not everyone's that fortunate, you know. And something, I know we don't have much time, but something which I've really got a lot of gratitude for is being able to be woken up enough to realise that there's only one way I can get well. Because I'm here to get well, and I have to continue this. The only way I can do this is by working the steps and getting a thorough understanding of them. And then when I understand them and I've done that stuff, the only way I can improve myself and stay well is to help someone else. It's how this works, you know. I've come to understand something in this period of recovery, in these 4 years that I've got, that step two become very simple for me, because it says in this book, it says it can be the group, it can be your sponsor, or it can be the literature. And what I learnt was I went to a lot of groups that didn't really tell me how to get well, a lot of groups that spewed in the meetings, said a lot of stuff, and if I read them four cards, I understand on them four cards how to get well. And on one point on them cards, it says you can only keep what you have by giving it away. You know, so I had to learn to go to meetings where people were sharing the message of recovery. So the easiest way I could learn to do that was to go to step meetings and just for today meetings and meetings where it was focused on the message. And that another example I had was I had a sponsor who I used to use with. And he died. And he had a heart attack and was dead for a week in his room till they found him. With the heating still on, it was really not nice. And I'd had a few sponsors who in the path, and all of them had all given me good stuff. And one of the main things one of my sponsors said to me in the past was, focus on them four readings. Everything you need to know is on them readings. But one thing I have learned, and that is with this literature, it works. There is nothing wrong in this book. Everything they put in this book works. You need to qualify yourself as well. And I don't hear much of that. I had to learn that elsewhere, really. And to qualify yourself in Narcotics Anonymous to find out whether you really need to be here and you're an addict of my kind is really, really important, because you may be wasting your time. You may be able to get some counselling or something that might help you out. Some psychodynamic or cognitive or something like that. And one of the quickest ways to get it, identification-wise, is read this book, and wherever it says we, ask yourself, is that me? Really simple. And you'll start seeing a book come alive. You'll start finding yourself in the book. Whoever it is in there, especially if you're doing step work, whatever step you're on, you've got to check it out. And it works. Is that me? There's another question you can ask yourself. Did I feel like that? And if you work this book with someone else, with another recovering addict, thank you, it's amazing. There's really a lot you can learn from this book. It can teach you how to save well, keep well. It will not let you down. It tells you exactly what to do. Yeah. I'm going to finish on a little story, which is to do with my experience in recovery, because I feel like I'm going a little bit flat here. And what this is was, 4 years ago, I was in a detox in North London, and I didn't really want to do much. All I wanted to do was sit in a detox, and I was 42 then, I'm 46 now. While I was in this detox, I had to ask permission for a volunteer to take me down to my daughter's school, because my daughter was biting all the other children. And I really didn't want to go. I wanted, you know, fuck the world. Don't they know I'm clucking? Don't they know I'm doing a detox? You know, it was always all about me. And what happened was, I got taken down to the school, and when I was there, I went and sat in with the head teacher, and the head teacher said to me, your daughter, out of the other children that's in her year, out of the other 30 children, she's in the bottom two, and she's got her stats coming up, and we really don't think she's going to make it. We really don't think she's going to, you know, she's just crazy. She's just wild. Well, in that year, I've come out of detox. I've made a point to myself, because I'd had all this experience of messing up, of diligently working them steps, getting rid of my television, and going to a meeting every day and working them steps as hard as I could. I made a point of it. And at the end of that, when that year came round, I'd forgotten all about this, and I was at a play with my daughter a year later, and she's up on the stage singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, because they wasn't allowed to do Christian things anymore, and it was a Catholic school, and all that kind of stuff was going on. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having a feelings attack, I'm crying, my daughter's on stage, but I'm trying to be hard and not let anyone see it, and all that stuff. And after the end of the play, the same teacher pulls me aside and she says to me, I don't know what you're doing, she says, but whatever you're doing, she said, please carry on with it, because this child is now in the top two places at the school. We've just had her stats recently and she's excelling. They couldn't believe how far forward she'd come. Now, all I'd done was work the steps, and in working the steps, I began to change myself. And the consequences of my actions have now affected my daughter in that way. She's a lovely child. As I say, I started off saying, my mum loves me today. You know, I try as best I can to be a dad without trying to be the dad who gives all the money all the time. You know, I try to be a loving, caring person, and I, you know, try and care for other people. And I realise, you know, that's the answer. I can only keep what I have by giving it away. You know, I hope someone's got something out of what I said. I feel a bit flat as it goes, but... You know, thanks for everyone being here. I can't do it alone. Thank you.